Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry and you're listening to episode 41. Justine Roberts is my guest on this episode of the podcast, and as the founder and CEO of Mumsnet, it was fascinating to chat to her about why she set up Mumsnet and how she did it whilst juggling bringing up four children and on a shoestring budget. We chat about the challenges that she's faced, from being sued by Gina Ford to keeping afloat when the money was running out in the early days. Justine also talks a little bit about getting that balance between allowing healthy debate and discussion on the Mumsnet forums, whilst also keeping an eye on things to check that they're not tipping over into a bullying culture. So grab a cuppa and I hope you enjoy this episode. Justine, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So you're a mum of four and you're top boss at Mumsnet. You must get access a lot, but how do you make that work in terms of balance?
Well, badly probably is the answer. It's pretty chaotic. It always has been. I'm intrigued that my husband never gets asked that question.
This was my next question. Yeah. How often do you think your husband gets asked this question?
No, I don't think he ever has. And he's, you know, he's got a reasonably, you know, demanding job.
Yeah.
And has occasionally been interviewed.
Does he work in TV still?
Yeah, he works at Channel 4, actually.
Right.
My view on this stuff is... You basically have to give up perfection. You know, you have to embrace the chaos. You have to be gentle with yourself and understand that it's a compromise and nothing will be perfect. And, you know, hopefully your kids will be fine. I mean, I think my kids appreciate the fact I work, especially now they're teenagers. They want me out the way, right?
Yeah. Well, how have you found that the difference? Because obviously when you started Mumsnet, you had very small children.
Yes.
And now you have teenagers. How old are they now? Are they kind of late teens?
Yes, so I've got between 12 and 19. Yeah, with my two eldest are 19. And they were the inspiration for Mumsnet. So you can see that's how old Mumsnet is.
Yeah.
It was, it was a very slow start for Mumsnet. So it was all back bedroom stuff. I remember doing an interview with Five Live where I had two screaming toddlers on the other side of the door, and I was holding the door shut with one hand and doing a live phone interview with the other. And I was bloody grateful when we finally could afford an office, because actually working at home I found really quite difficult, because my young kids don't really understand.
No.
And you're just sort of telling them go away the whole time.
That means you were the forerunner of, you know, like flexi working.
Yeah.
You know, making it work somehow.
That thing, you know, all those rules that used to be about you've got to dress into work clothes, not be in your pyjamas all day.
Yes.
And try not to do the laundry and things like that.
Yeah.
Definitely, because we couldn't afford, because we mums are just simply, the business model really didn't work for a long time. So it really was, we were begging and borrowing favours and not earning a salary and just, you know, hanging on in there really.
Yeah, but you must have known, you must have had this real vision and this real belief that the desire was there for an online platform for mums.
Yeah, I mean, what was definitely true was the forums took off. Although, you know, they weren't massive, anyone who was on them will know it was a very different place to what it is now. But they were really useful to people from quite an early beginning. It was just that for lots of reasons. One was, you know, Facebook hadn't started. No one really believed in the social web, and the idea that brands were going to allow or wanted to be anything anywhere near a forum where people could discuss them freely was, you know, it was, we were before our time.
Yeah.
Like that. And then the other thing is, you know, in the way that Mumsnet generates revenue, it's basically an advertising model of, and you need scale. So it just, for years, was just kind of a no-goer. And, you know, remember, also, people were on dial-up then. You know, the idea e-commerce
it took
an hour to log on.
And it must have been quite terrifying for you to see elements of the internet bubble bursting, because you saw quite a lot of startups that were huge to begin with in the early noughties suddenly disappear and go under.
That's right. And we, you know, we did try and raise money at the beginning, and it was a good thing we didn't, because had we done that, we would have had a fancy office in Clerkenwell and lots of, you know, bills and literally no revenue.
Yeah.
So it would have been a painful experience, I think. So thank God I was rubbish at raising money.
Do you think that if you hadn't started Mumsnet, do you think you would have been a user of it?
Yes, I do. Although I think I would have been, as actually most of our users are, a lurker rather than a poster.
I'm a lurker.
Oh, yeah. No, well, most people, it's 20 to 1 lurkers. To
really?
Yeah.
So, which is kind of interesting, because from your point of view, those lurkers are still seeing the adverts.
Yeah.
So from a business point of view, that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, the whole point of Mumsnet is to, you know, provide access to peer-to-peer advice to make people's lives easier. So you don't always need to be the one asking the question.
Yeah.
You can still read all the good advice.
Yeah.
So I am a consumer of Mumsnet in the way that most people are. And, you know, if I have a burning issue about pretty much anything, I know that if I search Mumsnet, it'll come up.
But more than that, if you search Google, quite often
it's
the Mumsnet threads that come up.
Exactly.
And even if something is 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I will still click on it, because
still relevant,
this advice is universal and it's still relevant. And obviously some guidelines will have changed and some advice will have changed, but it's still worth reading. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, and also what you people are after is, I mean, look, you can go onto NHS Choices and get quite a lot of medical advice, for instance. But people want the authenticity of real experiences and how different people dealt with different situations.
Yeah.
And that's timeless. And it's and half the time what people want to know is that there is a way through, that things change and pass and you can survive certain situations. And that's kind of what Mumsnet's, that's the job it's doing there.
And you're so right, actually, having those discussions and having the difference of opinions and people arguing with each other, even if it happened 4 years ago, it's still, you know, you're bound to find someone who is seeing the world the way that you see it, and it backs up your own views.
And I mean, and if we had any philosophy, it really was that there's no one right way of doing stuff. You know, it's horses for courses.
Yeah.
It depends what type of parent you are. And I don't know if you remember all the kerfuffle with Gina Ford a long time ago, but that was a classic. You know, she worked for some people. She really didn't work for others. And, and it wasn't that anyone was right or wrong. It was just what suited, you know, an individual, a baby, and their families.
Yeah, their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And people are so passionate about those things, aren't they? So that makes for great discussion on a forum like Mumsnet.
Yeah.
So what have been the highs and lows of the past 17, 18 years for you as someone who's been at the helm of Mumsnet?
Well, I mean, I think it was, obviously, our start was fairly tricky because we launched right in the middle of, well, just before the dot-com crash. So everyone was terribly excited, and then it was, oh, the internet's over and dead. And,
yes.
And it was quite hard those first sort of 6 years of, whilst the community was growing and thriving and actually rather wonderful in that they occasionally would send us checks and things like that in the post.
Did that happen?
No, literally, yeah. We used to have an NPR-style appeal every now and then and, you know, say, oh, we can't pay for the servers, and then people would send us cash, which was lovely. But it was also, it was, you know, it felt like you were sort of in some desert, kind of trudging through, wondering if ever there was going to be any rain and fertility and all that kind of stuff. I'm stretching this metaphor too far. And so it was a hard graft. And, you know, I couldn't afford to pay for childcare at that stage. So, you know, so it was all from the back bedroom dealing with them. So that was testing. And then I think we've had some, you know, we've had tons of, you know, fun and it's always interesting. But we've had some challenges. You know, we've been, I think we've had more cyber attacks than most. We've been swatted. And my home has been swatted, which is when... literally an armed SWAT team is sent round to your house in response to someone calling and saying there's a gunman there. Who's,
I remember reading the reports of this. That must have just been terrifying.
Yeah, that was a bit unnerving, to be honest. And for the whole team, we had a bomb threat here as well and all kinds of stuff. So it felt a little bit lonely. Although, again, the Mumsteaders rallied round and, you know, in those senses. And then being sued actually quite bad. You know, it was quite bad. It went on for a long time by the aforementioned Gina Ford, and she tried to get the site shut down. And
really?
Yeah, we had a legal battle for a long time, and that's quite arduous. You know, you become that person who really can't talk about anything else other than their legal battle.
And also because this is something you've built up from your back bedroom, and to have somebody come along and try to take it away, it must have felt quite personal.
Well, I think it was personal in the sense that I don't, you know, it was a kind of indication of people, particularly famous people, not understanding that the internet was different to a newspaper.
Yeah.
That, you know, we weren't sitting there as editors deciding to run that comment on how someone thought, you know, Gina Ford's methods were cruel. It just, you know, it was a discussion.
Yeah.
And she treated it as if it was a personal vendetta, which it never was. In fact, weirdly, you know, for one of my children, I really was a contented baby fan, and I was doing it by the book, and then it didn't work for the next one, and I've seen all sides, really. Yeah. It was really tough, and she had, you know, we were bombarded with legal letters, actually, and it was felt quite precarious. But at the same time, we got a lot of help. We got a lot of help from the users. We got a lot of help from pro bono lawyers. So that was quite nice.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
That's good. And obviously now people must have a much better understanding of how the internet works, and the fact that you guys are kind of facilitating this conversation, but you're not necessarily driving it.
Yeah.
But it must be quite tricky for you to, with the forums as they are, to know when to step in.
Yeah.
And there's been obviously quite a lot of criticism of Mumsnet over the years when it comes to the conversations that are happening and when is something fair game, when is something bullying. That word gets used a lot when it comes to Mumsnet forums. So how do you get that balance with allowing the conversation to flow naturally and keeping things fair?
Well, I'm not sure life is fair, and I'm not sure we're trying to keep everything fair. And one thing I would say is I think Mumsnet's a walk in the park compared to most online comment sites, you know, when you read the Daily Mail comments underneath that, or
I try not
or
to.
Indeed Reddit or any of these.
Yes.
And I think largely because it is a community of women, it A, gets more stick for that than it might otherwise do, and B, actually is quite reasonably self-moderating. Now, that's not to say that unkind things aren't said, they are often said. And our rule on that is, you know, we have a set of guidelines where we want to encourage conversation. So lots of people object to stuff because it essentially isn't their point of view, and we've got to weed out, you know, we're not going to delete for that.
Yeah.
And then there is a kind of test of sort of, is it really, does it kind of make you feel, oh, that's really shitty and mean, or is it fair comment? And that slightly depends on who's being criticised. So we have quite a firm rule about personal attacks on Mumsnet users. So in a conversation, you can't just say, I wasn't going to say it, it's too rude, but you can't personally attack another user. We have a much sort of more lax attitude towards comments about Peter Andre, if I'm honest.
Poor Peter.
I know. But also the other thing people don't get at all is, you know, we do not police comments. So we don't, you know, we don't publish them. We don't see them unless they're reported. Mm. So there's an awful lot of things where people think, oh, they're letting that happen. But the moment it's reported, if we look at it, we think, yeah, no, that's not right. We delete that comment.
So I guess you must be getting just thousands of comments every day.
Yeah, so we get 30,000 posts a week. So we're not pre-vetting. So we do rely on people to report stuff. And we have a sort of set of guidelines and rules. Partly it's about not breaking the law. Partly it's about being, you know, not personally attacking. But then there is just a reasonableness test that does this feel in the round, in the whole, you know, nasty and vile, in which case we, you know, our moderators, and we've always had paid moderators, incidentally, that do this, you know, professionally,
yeah,
we'll take it down. But very often people will look at a comment and it's not been reported, so it's not been sanctioned, it's just still
just there.
So, but it is tricky because obviously it's an opinion site.
Yes.
And lots of people are offended by lots of things that isn't necessarily, you know, I personally believe this whole move towards no platforming opinions you don't like is very dangerous.
It is, it really is.
Yeah. And we need to stand firm at that, but it is a tricky balancing act.
Yeah, I think that healthy debate, there's always room for healthy debate,
yeah,
always room for people disagreeing with each other. But I guess the tricky thing is that when people are behind the screen, quite often they, yeah, might say things that they wouldn't say face to face.
And so I think that's true. But I don't think it's anything like the bile you'll get on Twitter. You know, and I also think that aggressive orthodoxies can grow up around what's allowed to be said and what isn't. It's a slightly different topic because I think you're coming at it from the point of view of a, you know, an individual that's feeling vulnerable and attacked. But the other thing that can happen is, you know, you're not allowed to mention certain things because the orthodoxy on that forum or thread is, you know, we only believe in this way of doing stuff. And
sure,
that's antithetical to what we got set up for, is, oh, you know, it's a range of opinion, it's horses for courses, all that stuff. So we've had to intervene there as well, where,
yeah,
we've noticed a forum has basically disallowed an opinion,
mm-hmm,
because it's not the opinion that the majority of the loudest users kind of believe. So,
yeah,
so yes, it's an ongoing challenge. And, you know, we don't always get it right. We'll hold up our hands. We, you know, but people should report stuff because we need to see it before we can delete it.
So if you're lurking,
if you're lurking and you see
things, then do report it.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Mumsnet campaign for better postnatal care.
Yeah, so we surveyed our users around this issue of care. And what we found, and it's corroborated by the sort of spending in this area, is that postnatal care is like the Cinderella of the National Health Service. It really gets very little resource. So in the sort of scheme of a mother going in and giving birth, 92% of the spend is on the birth and 8% is on the postnatal care.
Which is crazy.
It is, you know, and I'm not campaigning, by the way, for the 92% to go down.
No.
That's essential, but
yes,
we need to take postnatal care more seriously. And there were some pretty shocking findings from our survey around women not having, about half of our users said they didn't get access to pain relief when they needed it after quite, you know, invasive stuff. I mean, you know, proper serious birth stuff, which we all know about.
Yeah.
6 out of 10 said they didn't have access to food when they needed to. 20% said they didn't have access to water. So basic stuff, really. And also a kind of generally not being told what was going on. So not knowing when visitors could visit, not knowing that there wouldn't be any food available for 12 hours, so they should possibly ask someone to bring some. So practical stuff that was just going wrong. And then a lack of staff, you know, a lack of staff available to take care of women after giving birth. And let's face it, you know, it's it's a pretty tough time.
Yeah.
You do quite a lot of preparation for birth and not much preparation for the bit after the birth. So you do need a bit of a helping hand. I think the stat that really sticks out to me is about one in five of our users have either not had another child after a bad experience or really thought twice about it. It was that serious.
Yeah.
And it's very patchy. It depends on your location. This isn't an attack on the professionals in the NHS. It's about resource.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Is that I'm quite guilty of saying, oh, it's the NHS. They're so under-resourced and underfunded that I'm almost too willing, I think, to turn a blind eye.
Yes. And one of our sort of recommendations is, you know, lots of hospitals have a complaints procedure. People are really reluctant to complain. A lot of people in our survey had really bad experiences. When we asked them whether they'd actually made a complaint, they said no. You know, 9 out of 10 don't complain.
Well, you don't want to make a fuss, do you?
You don't want to make a fuss. But if you think of it as feedback, not complaint, it is that it's helpful for them to improve and they actually start doing something about it. And, you know, what you want is the health service itself to say, we need more resource for this. We can't do it on the money that we're given.
So what are the things that you guys are calling for? What are the changes that you want to see?
So we think there's a really simple answer that actually our users came up with, which is every ward has an information card. As you go in, you're given it, you're given basic information about, you know, when you can have visitors, whether you need food, you know, where the bloody toilets are and stuff like that. Because if there aren't enough staff around to help, you can work it out yourself at least.
Yeah.
We want more money spent on postnatal care. It lives with women for a long time if they have a bad experience. It clearly contributes to postnatal depression as well, which has huge ramifications for people.
So, and huge costs to the NHS as well.
Huge costs, exactly, they're right. So actually, we had John McDonnell on for a web chat last night, and, you know, he's agreed that Labour will look at including some stuff in their manifesto, and hopefully we can get the same commitment from the others. I say the others, I mean the Tories, I suppose.
Yeah.
and we can get this looked at properly, because it's a real problem for lots of people.
Great. Justine, before we finish up, I've got some quickfire questions for you.
And the other one, before you do that, is we've also got to get bounty off the wards. The 9 out of 10 of our users think it's just insane that you can get pestered by a commercial rep trying to get your data.
I'm with you on this. Yeah. I've got a free downloadable poster on my blog right now, in fact, that mums can download.
Brilliant.
And stick to their hospital bed, which says
no bounty.
No thank you to the bounty rep.
Yeah.
Because quite often you just don't have the words when you are in that post-birth haze.
Yeah.
To actually say no to this cheerful lady who's popping her head round the curtain to collect
while
your data.
While you're in your knickers breastfeeding.
Yes, I mean, trying to wrestle a baby to your bosom for the first time. It's,
exactly.
You know, yes,
exactly.
I'm with you on that.
Well, good for you.
Say no to bounty. Okay, quick fire questions, Justine. You're a twin mum.
Mm-hmm.
What's your top twin tip from me, as someone who's a few weeks away from having twins?
Okay. Oh God, this is meant to be quick fire.
Yeah.
Okay. My top tip is paint. Well, are they identical?
They are.
Okay. So paint one of their toenails with nail varnish so you don't get them confused.
I've had that tip already, and I'm going to be doing it.
Seriously, you think it's a laugh, but it's not. It's true.
Yeah, I'm going to do that because I actually am slightly terrified as to how I'm going to tell them apart.
Yeah.
People have said to me, "Oh, you'll just know you're their mum."
Yeah. And the other thing in photos, when you look back, you won't know unless you literally do sort of almost colour code them.
Tattoos on the forehead, is that too far?
No. Possibly.
Too far. And finally, what's been your most embarrassing moment as a mum? I mean, you must have had a few over the years.
Oh, God, what do I think? There's so many. God, you should have given me this in advance. I would have thought of it. it's school play. It's a nativity play with toddler. I think, well, it was actually really my husband's, but we were together. In the middle of the school play, one of my twins shouts out, "Go away, Daddy."
Were they on stage at the time?
On stage.
Oh, no.
On stage. You know, she was a star.
Oh, I bet he was mortified.
Yeah, and it's like, so that's on his behalf.
Yes.
Yes, but I've had lots of, I suppose, punamis would be mine.
They're always fun. Yeah, we've been there. We've been there. Justine, thank you very much for your time today. It's been so great to chat to you.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Big thanks to you for listening, and I know I ask this on every episode, but do please hop over to iTunes and subscribe and rate and review, because it does help other people discover the podcast. Thank you, and I'll catch up with you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.